Hey everybody, welcome to the Indie Film Review.
The Indie Film Review.
On today's episode, we're going to get into Gehenna, where death lives.
Gehenna.
But first, why don't I introduce myself? I'm Jared, and with me, as always, is my faithful confidant, Dan.
Confidant, more like it, right?
Confidant, yes! Holy shit. That's why you get paid the big bucks.
I love the illusion that we make any money.
Me and Dan basically share a cardboard box together outside of Main Street.
We're street performers. This is our form of busking.
Yeah.
We go out on the street and like chase people down and talk about movies.
We do a podcast to like an audience of no one, but we pretend there's a crowd until there's a crowd, okay? That's how you make dreams happen, all right? That's what a true performer does.
That's what David Bowie did.
And now he's a patron saint, I think?
I believe so, actually. He's my patron saint, at least.
So yes, this is a reviewing show of film.
And we know what you're saying. We know what you're saying. You're saying, well, get to the review already. You can hold your horses, Mr. or Mrs.
That's right. And also, get these horses out of here. Come on. This is a highly expensive studio. I lied before. We're not actually in cardboard boxes. We're super rich.
Oh. So, Dan, why don't you tell us what Gehenna's about? Okay.
I agree with myself.
Oh, shit. So Gehenna is about these resort scouts. Basically, they're trying to make a resort in Saipan, which I had no idea was a place until I watched this movie. And they find a World War II bunker because the Japanese had occupied Saipan. And apparently there's ghosty goings-ons down in the bunker.
Oh, real spoopy times down in the bunkies.
And that's all you need to know.
Resort scout sounds like they're looking for resorts and they spot them out and they yell like resort, resort. And like they go and tell people.
They were scouting the land, undeveloped land for real estate. That's yes, what I meant to say. Jesus.
So apparently this movie is crowdfunded, which I didn't realize until looking at some of the trivia of the
It's crowdfunded. Its budget is estimated to be $240,000, which is pretty decent.
Super low. Honestly.
Pretty decent, yeah. I would say, like, independent films, I don't know, like, because budget gets kind of tricky. Like, anything below $1 million, for sure, is definitely independent.
But there also can be independent films that have a lot more money. They're just not funded by the major companies.
That's true. This one was surprisingly good for how crowdfunded it was, I think.
Yes. So, yeah, why don't we get into our general feelings about the film? This is a non-spoiler section where we do what I just said. So how did you feel about it? I think we already kind of got a taste.
Well, I enjoyed the movie. It's predictable.
Yes, I agree.
It doesn't necessarily bring anything new to we're trapped underground genre. There's decent scares in it. It's an entertaining movie, but like the whole time I found myself in the mode of making fun of it. Like, there were so many opportunities for good jokes. Just, like, riff tracks type jokes. Not actually making fun of the movie. Yeah, not making fun of the movie, but just making fun of, like, what I'm seeing. Like, and I think what that has to do with is the weakness of the film is the characters. Not the acting, but just, I think all the characters are kind of dumb.
I really want you to expound upon this later because I want to know exactly what scenes, like, where do you feel like the characters feel dumb? So for me, I like this movie. Mm-hmm. There are definitely issues with it, for sure. If you take into account the budget and that this was crowdfunded and they had such a small amount of money, I think they did an amazing job.
Yeah, it's extremely coherent. Oh, absolutely. Special effects, the direction is on point. Like, even though it's predictable, it serviced the predictability. It's like, that didn't bother me.
I loved how it was like Americans and Japanese are going into this other culture that they don't understand of Saipan. And I'm trying to remember, is it Taiwanese? I'm trying to remember where Saipan is. I'm going to look it up, actually. The Northern Mariana Islands. So it's its own thing. and they were conquered by the Spaniards, and that's that plays a big role in the story of the film. Wow, apparently a lot of people colonized it over a period. I guess the Japanese too, which makes sense.
Basically, Europe colonized the entire west half of the world at one point. So, you know, Britain took some, Spain took some, Germany took some, and that just kind of exacerbated World War II, something like that. I don't know. I'm not a history buff, but I know relatively that's what happened.
Take everything we're saying with a ginormous grain of salt. Like a sucker full of salt.
Hey, you're listening to it for the movie, not for the history that's lesson. Right.
That's right. Now turn to page 72, where we talk about how to give good oral. So I liked many aspects of this film. I like the attention to detail and how the plot comes together. Mm-hmm. And there are so many cool little things that, because I watched this movie twice. Once by myself, just in my leisure. And then again, when I recommended it, we should watch this film. And there's so many little things that connect together that I love a lot. The only issue is the film, much later on, kind of starts to really treat you like a dummy. Mm-hmm. And it's really holding your hand. And it's like, hey, here's exactly what's going on. And it's like, you already have been given all the clues. And a lot of the last half of the film, they're really just making sure you understand all the big twists and the story plots and everything else. And I'm like, this is so unnecessary. We don't need to do this. And I think it hurts the film in the long run. I liked a lot of the jump scares, and I feel like there's a lot of interesting visual effects that they do with these. And then some of them almost felt out of place, where it was like, we need more jump scares. Let's put more in. Mm-hmm. Where there could have been more time spaced between when a scary thing happens and when it doesn't. Because some of these are genius. And then they just get muddled by more generic scares, you know, like that classic thing of like, oh no, is he dead? And they go up and like, let me check his pulse. And he's like, oh, he's alive. Oh, he jump scared you. And I'm just like, why do that when you've done so many other more interesting things? And it makes me a sad boy. And I don't like being a sad boy. One other thing is the story of this, how you're saying was kind of generic, right?
Well, no, let's say the plot is kind of generic. The story,
okay.
The story, like what's implied in the plot, there's a lot going on.
Yes, I like the lore of this, and yeah, I like,
that's what I mean.
I love the plot twist in the story was interesting, but it is predictable, and I figured it out really fucking fast.
There's a scene, and once you get to the scene, like there's three blatant clues just staring you in the face. And if you don't figure it out, you're not paying attention. And that's about like 30 minutes into the film.
So I know what you're talking about. And I feel like, because I didn't figure it out until the major event happens. Once the major event happens, then I'm like, oh, I know exactly what's going on. Was there anything else you wanted to talk about before we actually get into the film proper?
No, I want to get into the film proper because the twist has such a strange implication that I want to talk about.
Yes. So before we get into spoilers, I do want to say there's a lot of outdoor scenes. Maybe the first 30 minutes of the film is them scouting the location for the resort. And then they happen upon this bunker where the rest of the film takes part in. I liked all this. And I love how technology is being used in films now where anyone can get an overhead shot. Like anyone can get like these really nice establishing shots using drones. And just how cool it is that we have this drone technology to make films better for people who don't have...
And they incorporate it into the plot of this film because they have the team who's excavating... Well, not excavating. The team who's, like, you know, going out and
surveying.
Surveying. He has a camera, or one of them has a camera, and he also has a drone, basically, which is...
Yes, and I think that's so cool because you know for sure that that drone is actually being used to film...
Absolutely.
Shots from the movie, and it's also in the movie. Oh, that's pretty good. Hopefully that drone gets residuals. That's all
I hope
I'm saying. I mean, come on. Drones need to unionize.
Gotta feed his drone babies, you know?
Yo, drone papa. When is drone mama coming back? Next time on Drones of Our Lives.
Those things are so fucking loud, it's ridiculous. Like,
Yeah.
I want one. Yeah, I know. I want one just because I like to experiment with filming, but like, just, I don't think I could handle how loud they are.
They're really cool, but it's like attaching like 6 or 7 iPhones together and then flying it around with like no defense, you know, because they move so quickly and you could hurt someone else or the machine.
The machine is, I love watching drone fail videos. They're fucking hilarious. Like they just fly them into rocks. No reason.
Because it's like a $3,000 thing. Well, I'm sure there's like ones way cheaper, but.
I saw a drone once.
Oh, whoa, la-di-da. Okay, no, all right.
It's like, it's shaped like a fucking glider. Uh-huh. And the viewfinder is VR glasses.
Oh, weird. Oh, that would be scary as shit.
That'd be scary as fuck. I saw it, like, it was for, I think it was like $1,000 at Brookstone. I'm like, God damn, that looks fun.
Hey, so this is a good intro to our new podcast called The Drone Cast, and we're really pitching it hard, as you can
tell.
We're
hobbyists.
Yeah. Lobbyists and hobbyists of drones.
Talking about the most boring shit. Yeah, this drone has a 55 mil converter.
That's right. This drone has 38 fans. The drone literally cannot fly. It just flails on the floor. All right. So this is the spoiler section of Gehenna, whatever the subtitle was.
Where
Death Lives, which I think is so silly. I don't know why they have that subtitle. Maybe, I guess, because there's other Gehennas, what you were saying.
I guess.
Off mic.
But Where Death Lives, really?
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Especially because the whole point of the fucking spoiler is to be alive, not to be dead.
Okay, all right. So if you want to see this movie, I recommend it. I think it's good.
Yeah, it's a fun. Like I said, I was having fun just making fun of the characters and their stupid decisions.
Yeah. It's a medium recommendation. If at the very least you could get together with friends and watch it and have a good time and get drunk. So Dan, I know you're chomping at the bit to get into.
I don't know what I want to talk about first. I guess it has to be the... Okay, so the big twist is they're all in the bunker, right? And they meet a Japanese person down there who's obviously from World War II. It's like once you enter this bunker, like there's this weird time thing that doesn't really make any sense. But it turns out that all the corpses they saw at the very beginning were all them.
Yes.
And only one is alive, and that is the Alan character. I think his name was Alan. And he's just scrounging for food because he's been there forever. And they find him.
Alan, a.k.a. the asshole.
Yeah, the asshole. They find him. They kill him. Like, he kills himself. Alan kills the future Alan. And then they start going insane because of the curse that's on this place. But what is troubling is anybody can go inside this. So, once they go inside it, does that mean that a whole new party has to deal with all the shenanigans? This bunker exists in a very strange space-time continuum.
Mm-hmm. Which I fucking loved. I love this idea of being, like, trapped in a weird time hell.
But how does that reset itself, is my question.
Okay, so you are basically stuck there until some more people show up and there's not just one person left. So basically the trap, which is a curse, and the curse was done by the early Saipan indigenous people with the shamans there. Apparently when the Spaniards came and settled,
they abused the...
They killed and enslaved a bunch of people and they separated the shaman, I believe, from his wife. I think from what I understood. And in retaliation, they kidnapped one of the Spaniard generals or leaders, and they cut his fucking face off.
Yeah.
But he was still alive, and then they did the curse, and they put him in a cave. And they have these dolls, these two dolls that they use. It's, like, really important in their culture. And they separated the dolls, and they're basically like, as long as these dolls are separated, you are trapped here to reflect on the things you've done to our people for, like, eternity. But what's amazing is, so the very beginning of the film, so they have it was like 1700s or whatever, and it shows them doing that to him, and they throw him in the cave, and when he's in the cave, he stands up, and he's walking, and he sees someone else is in the cave, but it's not showing their faces, and he's like, oh my god. And I kind of figured this out immediately. I'm like, is that him? Mm-hmm. Even though I didn't know there was a time travel aspect or anything else, I'm like, holy shit, did he just run into himself? So even at that point where I'm like, okay, I kind of get there's a time travel thing, but I still didn't really know what was really going on. But I loved it. I was like, I love time travel stuff.
I do like time travel stuff too, but like what bothered me about this time travel is it felt too paradoxy to me. Like it was too easy to poke holes in. You know what I mean?
I just felt like the flow of time, it's not actually that they're going back and forth in time. Like literally there is, time's not a straight line when you're in this place, because Pepe, one of the other characters, a local there, says so himself like several times, like, you're trapped here forever. It doesn't matter what happens. It's basically your own personal hell. And okay, so the curse, ghosts, evil spirits make you go crazy until there's, and make you kill other people until there's one person left. Then that person becomes the witness of the pain of the old Saipan people that they felt all those years ago. And you're stuck there until more people show up, which is fucking crazy. And I think so. Okay, you have the original person who was in there, then you have the Japanese people who showed up when they made the bunker, and the bunker was connected to the curse room. When they opened that room up, the curse came into the bunker, so now the bunker is also part of the curse or whatever. I think there's actually people in between that, because later on they show a man who was like a monk. He was like meditating back in that cave. I think it's like towards the end of the film she finds that monk, and I'm like, because Pepe is actually turning into that monk, because, you know, he cuts himself with the infinity sign on his chest and everything else. So he wants to become a witness too, which is the last person left. But he's doing it as like a religious thing of like helping keep the memory of what happened behind. So I don't know. And I thought it was interesting because we don't know how many more people have been trapped in whatever loop they've been in. I wish they would have played on that more.
I think that's what my big complaint is because I don't see an end to that happening. Like, I think if we had another party that stumbles upon it at the end, like as a epilogue, that would have been a lot better.
Like the police or something.
Yeah.
That would have been neat. I do like how there's a way to stop the curse and they totally screw it up and it's a sad ending. Like, I like how bad everything goes for all of the main characters.
So let's talk a little bit about these main characters. We have
Lance Hendrickson.
Lance Hendrickson is like in this movie for not even 2 minutes and he gets top billing, which is ridiculous.
Cashing a check in. Lance Hendrickson, get out of this movie. Why are you even here? I hate it when these films try to make their movie more credible and they're just like, let's just try to get like a name that everyone knows. I'm sure they paid him more than any other actor. And he barely does anything in the film.
He's basically the boss. He's in charge of this survey, basically.
It's like one scene.
Yeah. So he's talking to Paulina. He's like, Paulina, you get the shit done. Paulina is like the brains of the group. She's like the fearless leader. It's pretty great.
Yes.
Then there's this other dude that I forgot his name. The one who knows Japanese. Because Dave is the cameraman and Alan is the asshole
Tyler?
Dude. Tyler. So Tyler's the one who... So Tyler knows Japanese, Dave is the cameraman, and Alan is the asshole alpha male dude that hires on the local help, Pepe.
Yeah, Pepe is great. Pepe is my favorite part.
Alan only speaks in dollars and cents, apparently.
Yeah, that was a little awkward when he says that, because it was said in like an antagonizing way towards the rest of the party. This is when they first meet each other. Mm-hmm. And it just felt out of place because nobody was being antagonizing to him. And he's just like suddenly like, I only speak in dollars and cents. Because the other guy,
he starts speaking Japanese.
Tyler reveals that he can speak Japanese because it's pertinent to the plot. And they're also reading some Japanese words on the dopey cameraman's shirt that says like, I'm America's number one pervert. Which I liked the comedy in this. I thought the comedy worked. Again, I love Pepe. Thought he was amazing because he went from like dopey idiot to some really scary scenes, like some pretty fucking unnerving scenes. And I also love when dialogue is repeated and given different meaning later on. I love that kind of shit. They do that a lot in this movie. Was there any specific scene you wanted to talk about?
I had this really funny moment where, you know, it's a major plot point that Tyler knows Japanese. There's a old World War II radio with Japanese kanji all over it, and he's the only one that knows how to read it. My thought was he wasn't going to be able to do it. So I'm like, you can't even work a goddamn radio, you fucking weeb? Go watch your anime. Get out of here.
Ikizo! I loved seeing the Japanese actors compared to the American actors and how differently they act.
Yes.
And what's considered good acting in Japanese culture and what's considered good acting in American. And it's just, I love it.
Well, this is like a very rare movie that you can see it side by side.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's what I love. Yeah.
And even then, like, what's it? Merry Christmas, Mr. Lawrence. That wasn't an American. That was, you could see Japanese acting and British acting side by side, which is also very fascinating.
So different. And I just love how emotive and expressive Japanese actors are. And if Americans did that in an American film, it would look silly. It just doesn't make sense. But to see Japanese actors do it, it fits perfectly. I don't know why I like it so much. It just looks great.
Probably because you're so used to watching old Japanese films like I am.
That might be it. That might be
it. And just like it's that tradition of, you know, no theater that's coming out in their acting. Like very large expressive movements. Like they act 10 feet in front of them, basically.
Pretty fascinating just for that aspect of the film.
Yeah.
I believe the writer is Japanese. This is his first movie that he has done.
Hiroshi Katagiri.
Katagiri, yeah. So he's done a lot of other films, but he hasn't directed any. And, I mean, I want to support this guy. I want him to make more things. He's done a few shorts.
He's done a shitload of special effects work.
For a lot of good movies. I mean, the special effects and the stuff in this...
He's a sculptor, primarily.
There's some really cool stuff in this film, special effects-wise. So a couple scenes I want to talk about. One is... when they first go into the bunker, when they find the old man who's, like, praying at the bunker, and he has the mask.
That's the same mask.
I didn't realize this when I first watched it. Yes.
From the 1700s, which is really gross.
Yes. It's the mask that they cut off from the captain or whatever in the very beginning of the film. The dude is wearing it. And the old man also has the other thing of the doll, which I thought, like, was he contemplating bringing the doll back and ending the curse? You know, or was he like too afraid to go in because he didn't want to get trapped there himself and go crazy? I thought like that was really interesting, the implications of all of that.
Right.
And of course, they get a hold of the other doll when they make them leave.
One thing, too, that I thought was it's done very well, but it's not something new that I've never seen before. You know what I mean? So it's the way the ghosts haunt you. The cave haunts you or whatever. It's like it brings back your inner demons that you have to deal with. So Paulina, her son drowned. Tyler
had an accident. Like his sister had an accident. He doesn't explain what happened. Oh, Dave. I'm sorry. Yeah, Dave.
Dave's sister had an accident.
Yeah. And the ghost is trying to play off of
their insecurities,
his feelings. Yeah, his feelings for the main character.
Pepe sees his mom, which is fucking creepy. The mom makeup was probably the creepiest makeup I saw. Which was pretty awesome.
Yeah, yeah. It's so good. I love how Pepe was given like god powers.
Yeah.
He's like, Mogadishu protects me. I don't know the name of the god. And then, like, he gets hit with a shovel and shit, and his face is all
that. Thank you
up.
For reminding me. So, the special effects in this part where, so basically, he turns invincible. That's the only way to say it. And Alan decides to just try to kill him anyway. And he just beats the shit out of his face, and the special effects, like, his face is not moving. Like, he's just coming at him, and he's, like, hitting him with a fucking shovel. I'm like, holy fuck, and he is fucking up his face pretty nasty. And I don't like it when face stuff happens ever since I saw that fucking one movie. Irreversible.
Oh, God, yeah.
Fucking fire extinguisher.
Okay, so a couple things I remember I wanted to say. So, Alan... it becomes very obvious that he's going to be the villain, which is kind of annoying. And there's a point where they're reading the Japanese guy's diary. And at the very end, the last thing he says is, oh, I know what I must do now. And then it says, like, it is done, which is implied that he killed everybody else. And then literally right after that, Alan's like, yeah, that's a bunch of horse shit. Anyways, I'm going to go do what must be done, like, to go do another thing. And I'm like, yeah, I think you, yeah, okay. All right, we all know he's going to go kill some people now. And like, I feel like Alan going crazy was like a light switch that flipped, but I guess they don't want you to know that he's a bad guy yet. But then again, they spoiled it. Another thing I want to talk about, because, I mean, some of the jump scares are really, well, not jump scares, but like the scary moments are good. The scene where we first see a real ghost, where the camera guy, they're in that cave and he sees his sister and he's like, what? And then... she, like, arches her back, and the camera is scrolling down her body. Her head appears between her own legs, and I'm like, that was sick!
It was pretty fucking awesome.
holy shit, it was so fucking good. And like, it's like little moments like that where it's just a light of brilliance where I'm like, oh my gosh, this movie can do so many good things. And then it gets marred by some other erroneous scare scenes where you're like, get out of
okay,
here.
Okay, so yeah, you're saying what the only thing that really took away from the film was just the scares of it. Because even yeah. though it was predictable, that didn't bother me. It was predictable, but I had fun figuring it out, and I was along for the ride.
Well, I wasn't even going to intentionally watch this film again. Like, I was just exercising, and I put the film on, and I ended up watching the entire thing again. So I think that says something about me enjoying the film, is that it's a watchable movie. So, okay, yeah, final thoughts. I like this movie. Go watch it. The special effects are really freaking good. The twist, though it's predictable, is still really fun. And I enjoyed the time travel-y stuff and the back and forth dialogue between all the different characters I liked a lot.
The characters feel too superficial. Like, Alan was just a bad guy from the get-go, you know what I mean? And Tyler was infatuated with Paulina, and Dave is just a fucking nerd. Like, it just, I think if we made the characters a little bit more complex.
So they're kind of one note, okay.
Yeah, yeah, gotcha. that may have improved my liking of the movie. Not to say that I didn't like it, but that was the big thing that kind of took me into, oh, I'm watching a film, you know what I mean? It didn't make it believable for me.
Especially Alan, he's pretty one note.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know for sure, like, and oh, he's
I think
the bad guy.
We kind of hinted at it, but the one who has the deepest character arc is Pepe. And yeah. he doesn't really have that much. They kind of write him off really quick because he's the one who's part of the religion.
And yeah, okay. I think that's it.
So please find us on Twitter at Indie Film Pod. You can find us on Instagram at Indie Film Review Pod. You can email us at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. We're on Facebook. Get there. Rate us a 5-star on Apple Podcast.
The Necropodicon Network. That is our mothership to our ET Phone Home experience. A lot of really good podcasts on there. If you like the D&Ds, if you like the B&Bs, if you like the STDs, they got them all. they got funny podcasts. They have movie podcasts. It's a really cool place to hang out. If you go to the Necropodicon Discord, which I need to learn how to actually like link and like get people to, but I want to try to get more people to it. There's already a really good group of people there. But I feel like I don't promote the Discord enough because I don't understand Discord.
Me either, but get there and you can actually talk to me and Jared. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. And I'll answer only yes or no. So it's going to be a lot of fun. You'll love it.
I am the nuanced answer. You can ask me more than yes or no questions.
No, even if you don't ask me a yes or no question, I'll just answer yes or no. or I'll only answer in emojis. So
eggplant, peach.
Eggplant sweat, just constantly. So I love all of you. Thank you for listening to the end of the episode. I appreciate you. I'm thinking about you, and I'm hoping you're okay. Dan, you have the final word.
Gehenna. Sabanya, Hurry, Sarawa, and ya, Kanabara, 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 Kanabara,